y'all talk about evolution. The biggest question is, you know, everything's evolving slowly, or not slowly, you know, over a long period of time to advance to what they need to do to survive. And then, so every other animal just didn't feel the need to become as intelligent as us. They just didn't need to.
No, that's not how it works. So when you say every animal is evolving what it needs to survive, that's absolutely not how it works, because animals don't know, they don't control their evolution at all. And a natural disaster could happen, the climate could change, anything that would cause animals to die could happen, and they have no idea what those things in the future are going to be. So their evolution isn't guided toward what they're going to need to be able to do, like, in the future or anything like that. So that's one thing. But there's really no reason for any other organism to evolve to be as smart as humans are. And I'm not sure how smart we are, also, sometimes.
Okay. So, yeah, maybe my definition was wrong, but I was just saying, you know, like, over time they developed gills, over time they evolved, became more advanced than their ancestors. And there just seems like a gap between monkeys and us, and for some reason some monkeys are still monkeys and some monkeys turned into us. Like, we just thought maybe we need to study things, or how did language just kind of pop up? It seems so advanced compared to other organisms that are evolving here. It seems like we seem fairly more intelligent,
but you just kind of picked something at random. I mean, we're not the tallest, we're not the strongest, we're not the fastest, we can't jump as high, we can't swim as fast, we can't hold our breath for very long, we can't survive the vacuum of outer space for any amount of time at all. I can't live in boiling water, I can't live under 1 kilometer of crust on the ocean floor or anything like that. I can't live in a boiling acid spring pool. Heck, if I go a week without eating, I'd probably die. Well, not a week, but we seem to be the smartest, or we seem to have the most complex brains. I don't know about smartest, because we do things that are just inexplicably dumb at the same time. We're the only species that invents fictions and then mass murders other members of our species for not believing in the same fictions. Seems kind of stupid.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong there. There's lots of things that happen in human history that's like, why would we do that, you know? Especially as far as nature goes. But what I'm saying is, I guess we could argue this if you want. It's not really my point, but we are top of the food chain. You know, any piece of land we want, we can eliminate any animal that's on it. We have, like I said, we can fly an aircraft and hit missiles from miles away. So we're definitely a little bit above anything else on land here. You know, we can do it. We're top of the food chain. I think we can kind of agree on that, right?
I mean, sort of. We did lose a war to the emus once. So there's that. But I think that's because we have the most complex brains and we have complex social networks. And maybe we also are the most intelligent, but there's no reason for any organism to want to be like that.
Right, but just the capability that we have and the things that we do and the brilliant minds that even a child has, it's like we're so far from every other wild animal here. It seems like if evolution was the same path we all took, there's kind of a gap between, you know, just our every way of operating than every other wild creature here. So that's just my biggest question with evolution is, it's like, so we're all from the same path of evolving and adapting to, you know, the nature around us, but that something happened where we are very, very advanced. When we still have flaws, we're not perfect, we're not better, you know, especially not morally, you know. But we are definitely more advanced, and there seems to be a gap that I haven't found science to really put into place to explain exactly how. You know, there's like certain, like, if so, our closest thing is the monkeys, or I don't know, maybe it's the dolphins. They're very smart, but certain monkeys just wanted to keep being monkeys, and you know, like eating other tribes' monkeys and stuff like that. And then we decided we wanted to be more advanced, and we just evolved that way. Or
Yeah, I heard that dolphins were recently reclassified as the fourth smartest thing on the planet, which pushed women down to fifth place. That was kind of tragic. But anyways, you said earlier that like some monkeys turned into humans and then others didn't. I wanted to make sure I addressed that, but so some apes turned the chat is not happy. Some apes turned into humans, but other apes just turned into other apes. They evolved. You know, we didn't evolve from some other primate that's still around. That's not the case of how that went. But so there's that thing. But also, like, Neanderthals were different than us. We evolved in different parts of the world. They were a subspecies of us, basically. We did not evolve from them. They did not evolve from us. And we seem to have had more complex. There's just something about the way our brains were wired that seemed to be more geared toward innovation compared to them. And eventually we don't know if we outcompeted them and they all just kind of died because, like, a natural death, sort of like how VHSs don't exist anymore because of CDs. You know, the guy that invented the CD didn't kill the CEO of the VHS company or anything like that. It just died a natural death. Maybe that's what happened with Neanderthals, or maybe we just bred with them so much that, and we were more numerous that they just became one with us. We definitely do know that we interbred with them. Or I guess those are kind of the only real possibility, or we just, like, actually killed them. So we don't really know, but language was definitely something that was going on before there were any Homo sapiens on the planet. Or at least, like, we could never really know that for certain, but it's I think it's a far better assumption, I guess. I don't know what else to call it. That we weren't the first apes to, like, say words or anything like that.
Okay, I guess it's getting into communication, and yeah, communication between species is something that we don't even understand exactly what they're saying to each other. So yeah, definitely not the first to communicate in these unique ways. But yeah, it's like, it's just with evolution. So it's like, so there was a fork in the road, let's just say, just for example, 10,000 years ago. And with those 10,000 years, we became very, very advanced. And then the other fork in the road with the same amount of time is, you know, in the zoo right now, and it doesn't look like us. It's very, very different. So it's like, did all of their ancestors repeatedly make the decision to not innovate? And our ancestors always wanted to innovate, so that's why we are where we are. There's still a gap there. There's a pretty big gap between us and animals. And I feel like that's an intervention of something that's not of the wild nature.
So what got humans on the track to culture and civilization or whatever, I think can just fully be explained by our more complex brains. And I've talked about this a lot actually on this channel. I think evolution can tell you how the human brain got that complex because it's all about so for example, like a computer, like your phone is a computer. I'm looking at a computer right now. It can multiply two 20-digit numbers in less than no time at all, right? A human can't do that, right? But computers, until very recently, were completely incapable of looking at a picture and pointing to the flower, right? A human can do that with absolutely no effort whatsoever, right? There are certain things that the human brain is extremely good at doing, and there are other things, despite how complex the human brain is, it's the most complex thing we know about, that it can't, it just simply cannot do, right? So why are our brains that way? Well, it appears that it's a product of our social nature, because if you want to live in a group, because humans are are unique for a lot of reasons. Every species is, but we don't just poop out a million babies and leave them in a hole and walk away from their lives right away and say like, well, at least one of them's bound to grow up and procreate, right? We don't do that. And we take intensive care of our young and we live in groups, right? So in order to facilitate that kind of lifestyle, what's most beneficial for us ended up being, because we're social, you have to have, I guess what we would call interpersonal skills. So like I look at you and I can read your mind just by looking at your face, for example. I can understand that just your body posture or something is going to inform me about kind of what you're thinking or whatever. Now, it turns out that things like that, these kind of like social cues and whatever, it turns out that takes an enormous amount of bandwidth in order to do. You have to have a grotesque brain like ours to be able to do that kind of thing. What seems simple and normal to us, because of course being human seems normal to a human, but it actually requires something kind of remarkable. Now, from all of that, we ended up with like language and the ability to pass on knowledge with language, and then culture goes into that and all this other kind of stuff. So humans are able to build on knowledge generation after generation after generation, and it's produced this unthinkable stratospheric rise in what our species has been able to accomplish. But I think kind of all the pieces of it can be explained by evolution and just our general biology, I would say. Fun fact, and then I'll let you talk for a little bit, but like so for example, chimpanzees, they will crack, they'll use like rocks to crack open seeds and things like that. But what chimpanzees have never done is they never keep a tool and take it with them. For whatever reason, they've just never figured out this one simple little trick. And like, think of how much good that would do for them. Also, chimpanzees can't really teach other chimpanzees how to do anything. They can watch and mimic, but that thing I told you about, like crushing the seeds or whatever, chimp offspring watch their parents do that, and it takes them like literally years and years and years to figure out how to actually do it properly, because the parent chimp can't watch the baby chimp do it and understand, like they can, I guess, see that they're doing it wrong, but they don't have a way of, they don't have like a complex theory of mind like we do to be able to be like, okay, here's what I can tell you're not understanding. Now here, let me correct for that. They just simply don't have that ability in them. And their brains are only like a third, a fourth the size of ours. So I guess it kind of makes sense. But anyways, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. So I see what you're saying. And I got to say, your chat is absolutely hilarious. I'm trying to not laugh at their comments. I try not to pay attention
because I lose my train of thought, but they can be pretty funny.
They are hilarious. But So social dynamics, we were closer with each other, and that increased, you know, how we were able to learn quicker. With what you're saying about chimpanzees, they're, you know, very smart, but they still lack these very basic skills that we are able to learn very, very quickly. And then that's just individually. If we look at what, you know, humans are doing as a, you know, entire species, like you look at the architecture of a church, it's like a perfect masterpiece carved out of stone. And it's like the most amazing thing that we can ever see be created here on land. And it's just like, man, like we did that. We're pretty far away from the rest of the animals. So that's kind of just where it still roots for me. With there's definitely a gap where if we all came from the same path, taking, you know, forks in the road, we did something with our time very differently than the rest of our siblings here in nature. But we can get off of evolution if we need to, because I feel like that's just kind of like a gap that I don't think there has been a you know scientific explanation for it, but yeah. So I would say, if we want to go on to, sort of religion, I guess it's does would you have a way to explain how like religion, even if it is something that's just an idea, and but there's just so many people that believe in it that it's like kind of a part of every, biggest, most powerful civilization. Like, isn't that kind of a coincidence how it's kind of everywhere and it's kind of responsible for the greatest creations, the greatest destructions, like the biggest things to happen with humankind?
Well, I mean, for the vast majority of human history, the vast majority of humans have been, well, I would say for like over the last 10,000 years, I would say, have been religious. So, I mean, you're gonna get a almost one-to-one correlation for literally anything because it's just literally human nature. So I think the it's really not much of a coincidence. I would say it's like exactly what you would expect because it was the only thing that could have happened in a way. But the fact that everybody seems to be religious, that is interesting, but I think it has kind of an ordinary explanation. People have, this is actually funny. We were discussing this in my Discord server yesterday. Even young kids tend to have the belief that if you like present them with something that they like an unknown, like, oh, so like there's all this stuff outside and like the world, where did the world come from? They tend to think that something created it, right? And because we're species centric and it's hard to think outside the box, we personify it, we anthropomorphize it. We say, well, it obviously was something that's kind of sort of like a human in some way, right? They famously said, let us create man in our image, but that was thousands of years after the fact that we created the gods in our image. The fact that all around the world people believe in like mutually exclusive different gods, sometimes one, sometimes many. Animal type gods, human type gods, gods of like no natural description or whatever, tells me that there isn't a god concept or something that's like unique to humans. It's just like the idea that what we don't know, we assume, and we assume like our assumptions are predicated based off of what we're in, like ourselves, I guess I would say, without trying to sound like too fancy about it.
Okay. And yeah, I see what you're saying. There is that natural inclination to be like, oh, look at all this. Like, when you're a child, where did it come from? Who did all this? What is this? And then, like it's like there's always that wonder there. So it's like, well, we can describe it in some ways, we can measure things and, like the scientific way, and then there's the religion way, which is like, oh, it was, a higher power up there. And there is also always, I think, a big argument against religion would be to say that, oh, everyone's asking this question. So then someone just got up in front of everybody and said, I talked to God and he said this, and then everyone followed him, right? Like that's like an easy, that's like an obvious thing that people think happened with religion is everyone was wondering, and then a group or kings in power said, I'm him, or I'm talking to him, or I know who did it. But it's still, I guess that's the whole trying to describe it in words. And then there's the many accounts of, just for example, of like divine intervention. People who say or have experienced being saved by Christ, or say they're born again Christian, say they have the Holy Spirit and now their life has changed dramatically. And that's like, okay, that could be all in their head. But if it happens so many times to so many people and they are all claiming of these miracles, and they can't describe it in words. It's hard. It's tough to be believable in words because they didn't experience it in words. They experienced it with a miracle. No matter how many times you describe a miracle, it's still going to be words. And they probably wouldn't have even believed it if they were described to it with words. So it's like, there's another thing there. It's like, are all of these people who are saying they're experiencing a miracle by being saved by Jesus Christ, are they all making it up? Like, why would they all credit the same person? Why would Well, why would the same miracle come to them when they did the same thing? And then, you know, isn't that kind of weird?
No, because any religious group that believes in some sort of personal God or God that intervenes in some way, they all have those kinds of experiences. I mean, first of all, the vast majority of requests for divine intervention go unanswered. Can I have a McChicken? I'll convert right now. That's never worked, but I always try. Groups of people, they do the rain dance, and maybe it rains, maybe it doesn't rain. I don't know. Think of the worst atrocities that have ever happened, and tens, hundreds of millions of people have prayed for something better than what ended up happening. And instead, we cherry pick the few examples where, I don't know, something you could call like beneficial happened or whatever. But anyways, it's like I said, it's universal in any group of people that believes in some sort of like personal God or whatever. They'll tell you the same sorts of stories, but it also makes perfect sense that people believe in Jesus, ask Jesus for things, and then sometimes things happen for them. You know, it's like, well, of course they're praying to Jesus because that's the culture that they're raised in. What would have been really fascinating is when, you know, Europeans came to the Americas and they figured out how to talk to the people there, they somehow had the same story that Christianity does. That would have been extremely, that would have been extremely good supporting evidence for the idea that there's more to this than you just believe what your neighbors believe and what you were told to believe when you grow up. It reminds me of this really funny joke where like aliens come to Earth and we start communicating with them and eventually we start talking about Jesus and they're like, oh yeah, Jesus, he visited our planet too and we exonerated and venerated him and made him king and like all the, like, we did all these beautiful, amazing things. And everyone on Earth is like, and then the aliens go, why, what did you guys do to him? That's funny.
Yeah.
So
back to we're not that smart.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying, but yeah, I just think it's if you study the Bible or the Quran and you see that if you put into practice certain things and you do a certain thing, your life literally transforms, and that's reflected upon. And all religions say, you know, live this way or else you're gonna burn, or you're not getting to heaven, you're not getting to the good place unless you do these things. And the only one that says, I will forgive you, is Christianity. So all religions are saying this for some reason. And Christianity is saying, if you do these things and you practice them, you will have those good things. And then people try it, they go through the procedure, they do, okay, let me live like that. Let me try this, I need help. And then it works time and time. Like, I mean, it's literally like you can experience a miracle in this way. So it's like kind of like a scientific method, but you do need faith. You do need faith. It's not going to be written in a science book anywhere.
I mean, I think really, I've talked about this before. I'm an atheist, but I think religion can be useful, especially Jesus is he's not really a moral philosopher, but he's my favorite one. It's just too bad that Christians worship what Paul said instead of what Jesus actually said, for the most part. At least that's how it seems. But there are good ideas, and it's beneficial, and there's like social cohesion with being in a religion. And yeah, it can make your life better and things like that. But that doesn't really say anything about whether or not the actual beliefs are true or whatever. But I mean, the thing about Christianity is it like, oh, there's like this mission to like seek forgiveness and all this other stuff. That's kind of, I mean, Christianity imagined that there's an eternity of hell if you do and choose the wrong things. So it's more coercion than nudging in the right direction. Like in Judaism, there's no such thing as hell. There's Sheol, where I don't remember exactly, so I'm not even like, they believe in heaven, but there's also Sheol, but Sheol is not hell. And there's no like torture or anything like that. I don't want to say more because I'm going to get it wrong. But yeah, that there's good to be, you can pick the good out of that story, like with Christianity or whatever, but it's not totally vanilla. Well, I'll just say it that way.